VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ruck. You may perchance have cottoned on to the fact that there is a Lions squad due to be announced on Thursday. For that reason, I have deigned to return to work and Jonesy has decided that this week is too much for him. As the old cliche goes, big players, big occasions, you know what I mean. I'm Owen Slott and if you are a regular, you probably heard my dear friend Jonesy whittering on about how I'd gone all Lord Lucan on him last week and missed two successive Mondays. Thankfully, you get a more consistent performance from Lawrence Dallaglio and Alex Lowe, who are both here today for a one-topic pod, and that is, of course, the Lions. Now, Alex, we are luckier than ever to have you on the pod this week, because this time last week, you were unanimously selected as both the God and Goddess of the Week. How did that make you feel?
I've been sort of floating on a cloud all week. I couldn't quite believe my nomination last week, and I was surprised, and it was pointed out that I think I'm the second Times journalist to have been nominated, but the first to not have nominated myself. So no, it was nice. I even got a message from my dad who went out for a beer with his mate and said, "Oh, I hear you're the hero of the week at the Times." So,
wow! Did the junior Lowe's and Mrs. Lowe worship at your feet even more than usual?
No, definitely not. No, life was normal at home. Just in my head, I felt a bit taller. I walked with a bit more of a stride, a bit more purpose. It was nice. I enjoyed my week, but I'll step back down to ground level again now.
Sounds lovely. Lawrence, you well?
I'm very well, thank you, Owen. I've seen a lot of rugby over the last few weeks. I've seen more of Warren Gatland than some of the Lions prospects, I think. So I was rather disappointed to open my post this morning and just find a tax bill from HMRC rather than my selection for the British and Irish Lions. But anyway, that just brought me straight back down to earth and told me that I'm definitely not the God or Goddess of the Week.
Well, you must have come close to a call-up, because I was watching a BT Sport programme last night, a Lions selection programme, where you picked your Lions squad and you have Brian O'Driscoll in it.
Well, let me tell you now that when we get on to the selection of the centres for the Lions squad, wouldn't Warren Gatland like to have Brian O'Driscoll? How ironic would that be? I mean, Warren Gatland didn't want to pick Brian O'Driscoll, so I thought I'd better put him in there somewhere.
All to be revealed by Gatland on Thursday. Right, so this is our selection panel. We're not far off the Lions selection panel in itself, in that when the Lions coaches met for the first time, they were all asked to provide their first squad or who they wanted to pick. And they pulled them all and found that they were 25, 26 of the 36 on whom they all agreed. So out of myself, Lawrence and Alex, we are also on agreement on 26 players with a good argument to be had over 10 of them. We agree on 10 of the backs and we agree on 16 of the 20 forwards. We just to make that clear, we all agree on the hookers, which I have found one of the easiest of discussions. So we all agree that the three hookers who should go to South Africa are Ken Owens, Jamie George and Luke Cowan-Dickey. Interesting, we've all got the same tight heads. Pretty much anyone who's picked a Lions squad would have Tadhg Furlong and Kyle Sinclair as their tight head. The floating third is definitely an argument to be had by many, but not by us. Some people have gone for Xander Fagerson, some for Thomas Francis, but we've all gone for Ireland's reserve tight head, who is Andrew Porter. Just from the top or from the back, as the team sheet is read out, on back threes, which I think is an incredibly competitive position, we all agree that Stuart Hogg should go, Louis Rees-Zammit should go, that Liam Williams should go, and that Anthony Watson should go. So there's room for two more there. In the centres, I completely agree with what you said, Lawrence. Pretty, well, not the strongest of positions, but we've all got Robbie Henshaw and Henry Slade there. That might have been different if George North had still been fit. I brought Slade in after North went out. We all agree that Farrell should go. You two had him as a 12 rather than 10, but I think that's probably a bit immaterial, really. I thought it was interesting that we all had Finn Russell in our squads too. I could easily see him not going. I'm sure you'd say the same.
Yeah, I just wonder whether, I mean, in the same way as Gregor was the fly half in 97 before Ian McGeechan, you know, that relationship between coach and player has had its ups and downs, you know, admittedly. But there is something about Finn Russell, you know, following in those footsteps of Gregor Townsend, that would be pretty amazing, really. And I think, you know, do you want a like for like replacement? You know, if Sexton or Bigger were injured, and you know, do you replace one with the other, or do you want someone who offers something completely different? I don't know. I mean, I always like to have a bit of variety up my sleeve in a squad that can offer something different, and there's no doubt that he does that.
So my final selection meeting was held in the pub yesterday afternoon with my mate Ross, and went through a few of these conversations, and actually Finn Russell was one of the later ones for me to add into my squad. I had Johnny Sexton there for ages, but I thought there was a line in Shane Horgan's piece in the Sunday Times which really stuck with me about the need. If you think back about big Lions wins, they've been sparked by, or big Lions moments, it's sparked by moments by players who can do something off the cuff, whether it's O'Driscoll in Brisbane or it's Liam Williams for that try in the first test 2017, Jason Robinson, all those, it's players who can see something and deliver it quicker than anyone else. And I just came to the conclusion that having him on board would allow the Lions that option to put him on the bench, should they want to. I don't think he's a test starter. And I just got to the point that Sexton's been had such an interrupted season. And I know the three of those are very similar, Sexton, Bigger and Farrell. And I just felt chucking in Finn Russell, I'm not sure that Gatland will, but just felt it opened up the Lions, that opportunity for them to just do something unexpected, which might be what's required to win. I know you haven't finished going through them all, Slotty, but that point about Andrew Porter, I thought about Xander Fagerson as well. But ultimately, I thought Porter did so well holding up Leinster and Ireland on the tight head when Tadhg Furlong wasn't around because he was injured. Plus, he can play both sides. And I just think that versatility really got him the nod for me. I think he mixes in that company well now. And so that's why he got my spot as the third tight head.
Just finish up on the backs who we all picked. So we just didn't do scrum half, so probably won't be surprised. Everyone's got Conor Murray and everyone's got Thomas Williams. And then we've got three different third choice nines there. So we'll do forwards after. So why don't we do start off on that back three? So we've got two spare spots to fill with Watson, Hoggs, Rees-Zammit and Williams all penciled in. You two have got Jack Nowell. I've got Josh Adams and Johnny May. Lawrence, you've also got Max Malins, and Alex, you've got Elliot Daly. So of the aforementioned, I would kind of expect Daly to go because I think Gatland really likes him. And I would kind of expect Adams to go for the same reason. But I'm not saying that I necessarily agree.
Well, I mean, I picked Max Malins instead of Elliot Daly. You could have picked Elliot Daly, but I don't think you can pick them both. So, and I think he is the new Elliot Daly. Without the 50-metre kicking, maybe, I don't know. But and I can understand the attraction of picking Daly for Gatland because he likes him. He's obviously got that siege gun boot, which at altitude could prove incredibly effective. But I think you can only pick a certain number of players who are completely out of form. And to Eddie Jones' cost, you can't pick too many. If he's already going to pick one or two other players who playing their rugby in the championship and are out of form, then that's probably enough. You can't pick them all, which is why Billy Vunipola doesn't go and why I don't think in my squad Elliot Daly doesn't go. I mean, I'm not picking who I think Gatland will pick. I'm picking who I think he should pick. And I think people have to recognise that. I think with Jack Nowell, again, sometimes not playing a lot of rugby can be an advantage. And I think with him, he's able to hit the quality button and the level required straight away when he comes back. You know, people like me, old diesel engines need several attempts to hit the right level. Whereas a winger like him, I mean, even in that game against Bristol, bang, straight back into it at the test level, the test quality. So he goes straight back in for me. I'm excited to see him back because he's got so much rugby left in him for this season. So I think it'd be great. And Malian's just because I think there's a little bit of versatility there. He can play fly half, he can play centre, he can play fullback, he can play wing. He's got pace. And, you know, he hasn't got a huge amount of test experience, but in the few caps that he's played, he's looked to the man of born. So I do believe he would be a really interesting selection. And just finally on the scrum half, Dan Robson, I think, is a massive point of difference. I think he's so much better player than we all know about. Obviously, you'll all say, well, of course you pick him, he's Wasp biased. But in the same way as Matt Dawson was selected in 1997, I think he's got the ability to do things that other scrum halves are he adds a point of difference, and he's got pace, he's got kicking ability, and he's got great service. So I think he would be a real bolter selection.
I thought that Murray and Williams, and then I had Ben Youngs as my third. We now know Ben Youngs has chosen to make himself unavailable. And I looked at that third scrum half spot, and I could have chosen one of three or four. I'm really not, you know, I put Gareth Davis down, but I like the idea of Dan Robson. I like the idea of Danny Kerr. I think it's a spot. I actually had a thought yesterday. Do they even need to take three scrum halves? If you took two, you'd have space for an extra forward, which might be a conversation for a bit later on. England went to a World Cup with two scrum halves. You can fly somebody out overnight, same time zone.
Can I just butt in there?
Yeah.
I know they're going to take three scrum halves.
No, I know they're going to take three, but I'm...
That doesn't mean that we have to, because this is our squad, but... Yeah.
I'm suggesting, and I didn't go with this in the end, but I thought long and hard about only picking two nines, because...
The problem is the schedule doesn't... I mean, you know, with the match squads now, you need two in every match squad, so they would have to be in every single match squad, unless you've got a... you know, someone who can double up as a magician every now and again.
Yeah, and that's ultimately why I didn't, because there isn't someone who would have been training like that. I mean, England said that England trained with George Ford at nine in preparation for an emergency at the World Cup. Yeah. I'm not sure this squad has someone like that. So in the end, I went with three in my squad, and I put Gareth Davis. But I think that's quite a flexible position, that third scrum half. You could tailor it to however you want, and I, you know, I wouldn't argue against Kerr or Robson, even though I put Gareth Davis more for experience than anything else.
The fact is here, though, we've all picked a similar type of third choice nine. We've all picked the sort of nine who, if he gets on a bit of run of form, is the sort of guy who come off the bench and might do something special for you when required. Yeah.
And on the back three conversation, I agreed with Lawrence on Jack Noel. I just think he hits the ground running after an injury, and he's had too many injuries, unfortunately. But he looked brilliant straight away. He's a wing who makes things happen. He hasn't got the out and out gas of a Johnny May, but he will in a tough arm wrestle. He will go out there and make a difference, make things happen. And the way I went about selecting my back three, I looked at what would be my starting combination, and at the moment, it isn't blessed with pace. But I've gone with Hogg at 15. Liam Williams and Anthony Watson on the wings for a combination of high ball and creativity. So then I have three more slots, and my kind of out and out wing slot went to Louis Rees-Sammet because he has got gas and he's riding this wave of confidence, and I think he could do something out there that the box haven't seen from a Lions team. Yeah, they haven't seen him, so they won't be expecting it. And then the other two, yeah, Jack Noel got in because of how he plays and who he is. And I went Daly was the last player down on my squad, simply for that versatility. I don't see the point in taking a specialist wing as that sixth place. And I went with Daly over Max Malins, but I see the argument in Malins. I just went for Daly because of his boot, because of his versatility. I think he'd be a good tourist, and I saw him play very well against Ealing. So
I was going to say you can remember the last. You can remember the last time. You're the only man who can remember the last time he played really, really well.
Yeah. So that was my logic for picking that back three selection.
By sheer force of you both having gone with Jack now, I don't disagree at all. So we'll put him in. How do we get to a sixth back three player from May, Adams, Malins, and Daly?
Well, you look at May and you say if it had been this time last year, he'd have been nailed on. But unfortunately, he's for whatever reason, England have decided not to give him the ball this season.
So doesn't that just mean that the Lions could give him the ball? And
they could do, but I think he's generally dipped below his own levels just because England struggled. Daly, again, I'm not, it's not a personal crusade, but I can't remember the last time he played well. I really can't. And I think I would probably, if I was going to back down, and I've rarely liked to in these occasions, I would replace Josh Adams into the squad because he was originally in my squad. But I just, and leave Max Malins behind because, Josh Adams is played superbly and he's a good finisher. But I was just looking for that little bit more versatility. But, Josh Adams can go back in instead of Max Malins.
I would argue that last slot needs versatility. So I don't know whether we would take a specialist wing in that sixth back three position where, as we've already talked about, the midfield is there are lots of different combinations in the midfield. We're not confident it's the strongest part of that squad.
Well, it's interesting, like, isn't Daly, it? Because you've could add a, because you pick three fullbacks and we've all picked them and everyone's picked them because they're not only just very good players, but they're so good aerially as well. And you've got to recognise the threat of South Africa, with Faf de Klerk and anyone who plays, South Africa will kick the ball a huge amount. And that positional play and that ability to defuse the aerial bomb is so, so important.
I'm with Lawrence. I can't remember when Daly last played a game that got him into a line. We could get him into a Lions squad. So we'll put Josh Adams in there. Shall we welcome our special surprise guest?
Yes. Well, it's not Jonesy, is it?
It's not. It's definitely not Jonesy. Far better than that. We've got Peter O'Reilly, who is well known as our favourite man in Dublin. Pete, we're having this endless Lions selection debate. So we needed someone with a sharper brain than the three of us to come on and make some decisions. And somehow we end up with you, which is arguably a good decision. Can you start off by giving us some clarity at 10? You know Johnny Sexton as well as anyone. And obviously you've watched him for the entirety of his career. Clearly at his best, he's going to go, but we don't know whether he's going to get to that and how long he's going to last in the game. Of the three of us, Lawrence had him in his squad and neither Alex nor I did. But you would take him. I've seen your squad in the Sunday Times yesterday.
I would take him, I suppose, for his experience and his ability to manage a game. And you would imagine that it's going to be quite a structured approach that the Lions will have to take against the Springboks. Obviously, there are concerns about his physical well-being at the moment. Just as I understand it, Johnny will be fit to play again 3 weeks from now. He would have been, he's been passed by a leading English neurosurgeon, Dr. Tony Belly, to play again in 3 weeks' time. So Leinster were thinking they might have had him for the Champions Cup final if he were available. So Sexton is keen to go, will be his third tour. He did finished the last three Six Nations games that he played. He played a full 80 minutes. And at the end of the England game, you would have thought that he was nailed on to travel. But in the last, say, five Leinster games, he's had to be taken off prematurely, having taken a knock. So going in against the Springboks, the most physical of international teams, you would have concerns. And those concerns, I'm sure, will be on Warren Gatland's mind. But at the same time, I'm sure he would like to have Sexton's game management skills, and his experience. So it's a tight call.
The thing about Johnny, Pete, is we saw in that England game, is big occasions are the times where he really comes to the fore. But does that help him get through a Lions test? Is that irrelevant?
I think his big game temperament is hugely relevant. Yeah, His attitude to these tours has always been, get me on the plane and I will get on the test team. You know, so there's this incredible self-belief there. If you consider the preparation time that the Lions won't have, that's another reason why you want guys who've been there before. That's the way Gatland would be thinking about it, I'm sure. Now, I would have thought that at the moment, Dan Biggar is the front runner at 10. But Sexton didn't start the first test in New Zealand, but he did start tests 2 and 3. I think he has the ability, once he gets into that sort of that touring environment, that his personality can be very powerful, and his ability to understand a game. So it's like having a second coach out there for someone like Gatland. That must be attractive to him. Whether he wants such a dominant personality out there, if he isn't going to be starting 10 on the test team, is another matter. But I can imagine that Sexton would do things for the greater good. I would have thought it comes down to a call between him and Finn Russell. I suppose you could see how Russell would be fantastic to have on a bench, for example, if you were chasing a game to pull a rabbit out of the hat. But that's not why you pick your out halves to go on a tour, really. So I think the only doubt about Sexton is physical, whether Gatland thinks that he has the capacity to last the physical onslaught that is going to be there against the Springboks.
Alex, Pete mentioned at one point, which we should consider here, that maybe Johnny wouldn't be the greatest of players if he ended up as your third choice 10 and didn't get on a team sheet. I would suggest that Finn Russell might fall into that category as well. And we should be considering that, shouldn't we? We need the right types.
Yeah, that's a strong point. You need tourists. You need players who will buy into it as an experience. I mean, Lawrence would know this better than any of us, but I would say on this tour in particular, where the chance to go out and see the country is going to be off the table, they'll be locked up in their bubbles in admittedly nice hotels, but they'll be stuck in making their own fun. They're going to need good tourists, people who understand what makes it work. Now, you could argue that Finn Russell, you know, he'll be first at the bar probably, and he'll be good on the night out. But I'm not sure, does he have the sort of attitude, personality to buy into the team ethos if he's not the centre point of the team? And I don't know him well enough. My sense is that he's at his best when he's the kingpin, when things revolve around him. And so therefore, maybe it would be a challenge for him to fit in with a Farrell and a Biggar.
Just on that point, I mean, let's not forget that everyone, well, pretty much everyone who's selected as to go on the British and Irish Lions tour is used to being a number one. You know, they're used to being selected in their position in for their country. So that's the whole unique nature of the tour. And I don't think many players have got an issue if they're not selected. It's just as long as they're all given the opportunity to impress. And I'm pretty sure that whichever fly half you take, you would give them the opportunity to push their case forward. And if the rubber, the green goes with the other fly half and he has a better game or the teammates around him play better, then you just got to hold your hand up and say, I'll get my chance again. But I don't see that being an issue with these guys.
The schedule this time really doesn't help those who end up being outside of that Test 23, because without the midweek game before the first test and the midweek game before the second test, those guys their tour could be over a week before the first test and they have no more rugby. They're just there to help support the test team, and that must be a challenge for those who are used to playing, for those who got on the plane expecting or wanting to play, to not even then have a game, you know, before the first test and between test 1 and 2 to stake a claim to stay interested. I think that would be a major challenge for the management and for those players in that situation.
Those players are going to have 3.5 weeks without playing a game where they have to be good tourists. That's a hell of an ask. The previous Lions tours, they've had the dirt trackers have had a one and a half weeks to be good boys and play the good squad member card. But so it's a much bigger issue now.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods.
Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Move on, because I want to ask Pete about front rowers. Pete, the Leinster semi-final yesterday was pretty interesting from a line selection perspective. Your Sunday Times squad was picked in advance of that. I think it's pretty bizarre the way we look at these things. We're talking about a test series that is 2 months away. Is it 2 months away? It's a bit, 2 months away. Over 2 months away, yet we're saying, oh, their form on their last audition wasn't quite what it needed to be or whatever. So I think we can attribute too much importance to the last game they played. But you had three Leinster front rowers in your squad. Do you think that the way that the Leinster went yesterday, it changes your mind at all?
Well, I'd say those guys in the Leinster type five are worried now, because although I take your point about form and about the gap in time between now and the actual departure, these guys were one of the few groups of players who were on show this weekend, which is, you know, 3 days or 4 days before the team is announced. So perception is everything in that situation. So for someone like James Ryan, who probably felt, having missed a good chunk of the Six Nations, that he needed a big performance, I'd say he's slightly concerned there, because as a second row going to South Africa, you don't want to be beasted. Like Leinster's pack were beasted yesterday. I still think Tadhg Furlong was on the plane anyway, so he's safe. Personally, I would have Andrew Porter there for his versatility, but also because I think he's a good enough tight end in his own right, and he's a fantastic player around the park. But yeah, you wonder, when it comes to 50-50 calls, if losing a big semi-final can work against you. So it's a matter of perception there. And it didn't look good for Leinster's pack, which is the guts of the Ireland pack as well, to be beaten up so badly as they were yesterday.
On Looseheads, the panel all has Mako and Wyn Jones in our squads, but we're divided on Joe Marler versus Kian Healy as our third Loosehead.
I have to say, Owen, I was working on the assumption that Joe Marler wouldn't want to tour, given his, you know, his personal history, but obviously you guys would know more. He was. Do we know that he was emailed by Gatland and that he didn't pull out, or he made himself available?
I can't be specific there, but I'm pretty even though I've got him on my squad, I'm pretty damn sure that he won't be going.
I think the selection of the type five is fundamental to success. I mean, in 1997 we broke with tradition and played a game and took the Springboks away from their traditional strength and maybe surprised them a little bit with the selection, which they didn't see coming. I think England found to their cost that if the box turn on the power game, and they've got a number of different locks that they could choose from and any number of type five forwards. And I do think that, you know, this is where I sort of go a little, I delve a little bit deeper and hopefully into a little bit of experience around, if you pick a certain type five, then it allows you to pick a different back row to the one that a lot of people would select. And, you know, when I look at the back row, there's a number of players that I really want to see on that plane to South Africa. A lot of them all play six or seven. Most of them play seven, actually. And I think the Lions have got to get their selection right in the type five. And Gatland will know that more than anything. I share everyone's concerns over James Ryan. I think this time last year, he was nailed on first choice. You know, will it be Itoje and Ryan in the second row? Will Wyn Jones even make it? You know, that type of thing. But I think physically he's had his problems. But equally, I don't think it's just James Ryan. I think the Lions full stop in that position are a bit under, you know, we haven't got any big bruisers. I mean, even Itoje and Wyn Jones aren't the same physically as some of those guys that they're going to come up against. So I think the Gatland has to be quite canny about is about the way that they try and take on South Africa. I think that selection in the front row will and the second row will actually determine how he's able to play the game with the back row that he wants. So he's got to get it right.
If you want a more playmaking back row, Lawrence, and who is your big engines in
well, I mean, I think
as you said yourself, the Lions aren't blessed with huge physical beasts in the second row.
Well, I think I've got a sneaky suspicion that he may end up playing Itoje at six, you know, or certainly having a look at it, or a Tyg Byrne or someone like that. So personally, I think you would start with Alan Wynne-Jones in a test match as captain and a second row along with Itoje for me. But then you would have the confidence to replace a Wynne-Jones maybe after 50 minutes if you felt he needed to be replaced. And it's a question of who you bring on. I mean, I think James Ryan does go on the plane because I think he's got quality, and we can all look at reasons why they were completely smashed yesterday. The likes of Skelton and Aldrit were, you know, just came up with huge plays at big times in the game. But I think James Ryan still goes. It's a question of who's that fourth lock, really.
Well, look at the World Cup. South Africa were playing with two locks in the starting 15, two more locks on the bench, and Peter Steph Du Toit playing at six. So they have five locks effectively in that 23. And so to Lawrence's point about how will Gatland try and match up with that, I don't think the Lions will be able to go over there and expect to win that physical battle. I just think they need to get enough parity, enough foothold to then be able to play off it.
Pete, can you help us make the decision for our fourth lock then? So we're taking Alan Wynne, Marrow and James Ryan. And I think the fourth position, I'm assuming, well, everyone's got Tyg Byrne down in their back row. So the fourth lock is, amongst our conversation anyway, a competition between Johnny Gray and Ian Henderson.
Well, in Henderson's favour, I thought he came incredibly close to getting in the 23 in 2017. It was really between him and Laws, as I recall. So he offers the ability to play at six as well as four. And he's in pretty good form. I would suspect that Gatland is a fan of his. So he has a bit of previous with the Lions, which is good. Against that, there's the old perception thing again, because on Friday, Ulster completely wilted in the second half against the Tigers, and he was their leader, he was their captain. So that didn't look great. Gray obviously has gone up a level with Exeter, but it's interesting that when you, the week before the selection, you talk to guys in the different countries, and I was talking to a few Scots last week, and they weren't necessarily pushing Johnny Gray's case that strongly, which I found interesting because, you know, normally you tend to know a bit more about your guys. So I would say Henderson's going to perhaps just shade that battle.
We'll move on to the back row. We've got a lot of agreement here. Everyone's taking Talupe Faletau, Tyg Byrne, Hamish Watson, Tom Curry and Justin Tipperick, which leaves two more spots. I'd like to talk about who we think is our backup number eight, because that's not obvious at all. Sam Simmons, Jack Conan, Billy Vunipola. Jack Conan didn't, another that could have done without playing against La Rochelle yesterday.
Yeah, listen, I'm firmly in the Sam Simmons camp. Don't think it's a bolter selection. I don't think it's controversial. I think the player deserves to be there. I think I've watched him a lot this season. He's been outstanding. He's done things that change the games, both in Europe and in domestically as well. I think he's got pace, he's got footwork, he's got ability, he's got mental toughness and resilience, which is the piece I was talking about. You know, you've got to pick players on rugby ability, but you've also got to pick players who are strong in their mind. And anyone who comes back from an ACL injury, the way he has, and has played like he's never had the injury, is mentally very, very strong. So I don't see the omission of Billy Vunipola as that much of a surprise as possibly I would have said. Conversely, he has not been the same player mentally since he has broken his forearm twice. And he's got a lot of question marks around his ability to lift his form, because England have asked him to do that on a few occasions. And whilst he got a tiny bit more out of him against Wales and a little bit more out of him against France, I don't think it's anywhere near the level that it needs to be. So, as I said to you before, I think you can afford to take one or two players that are out of form and surround them with great players, and they can lift their form. But I don't think Billy is one of them. So Sam Simmons is the backup number eight, I think, for me. not controversially, no question about it. Whilst he doesn't have any Six Nations form to speak about, you know, all this nonsense about him not being physical enough and not being big enough, I just don't buy it.
Lawrence, my question about Sam is about his resilience in a different way. And I agree with everything you said about him, but he's a quiet guy. He's quite a shy guy. And I feel that he needs to feel his way into a situation to before he can really assert himself, which is maybe why he didn't take the world by storm when he did start playing international rugby in 2018. If you place a guy like that in the awesome environment of a Lions squad, established players all around you, and you're in that bubble where this guy's going to be told he's going to stay in his hotel room for most of the day. He's in my squad, but I have huge reservations.
Well also, the other danger is if you pick a player who's got no form whatsoever, apart from two years ago, and he doesn't deserve to be there, and two, he's not able to lift you. I mean, if you pick a guy who doesn't deserve to be there on form, you've got to know that from minute one that he's going to lift his game to where it needs to be. Otherwise, your selection comes under serious question marks. And I don't see Sam Simmons as a risk. I really don't. Whereas I do see Billy Vunipola as a risk.
I was also looking back at that World Cup and the final. And, you know, you pick Billy because he's big, powerful, gain line breaking player. And I just don't think he did that at all in the World Cup final against South Africa. So I actually don't think I'd pick him, because I'm not sure that style of number eight is actually going to be very effective against the Springboks, quite apart from the fact that we've waited a long time. There's been lots of promises that he's nearly back to his best, and there just hasn't been any evidence of it. So for both those reasons, I wouldn't have him. I'd be interested to talk to Peter about Jack Conan. I think Caelan Doris, had he been fit and available, would have had a very strong chance of touring. And in the end, I put Jack Conan down as my other number eight. Peter, what would if Caelan Doris had been fit, do you think he'd have gone?
Yeah, I think he was in with a shout. Certainly he would have had a champion in Andy Farrell, because Farrell liked the way that he attacked shots, soft shoulders, had footwork, that sort of thing. Whereas, see, you know, Ireland have been relying on CJ running into people for the last few years. So he's a different type of number eight. And I think Jack Conan offers that point of difference as well, that he has quick feet and he has good football skills. I just think he needed a huge game yesterday to have a chance. My vote for Billy was on the basis that being put into a Lions environment was going to lift him and suddenly get him fit. But I would very quickly defer to the better knowledge and experience of Lyle on this. But also, I see Sam Warburton described Simmons as an easy pick in this morning's paper. So I think these guys may be onto something.
Let's go back into the back division. We haven't discussed our centres yet. We all agree that Robbie Henshaw and Henry Slade would be on the plane. Then there's a lot of discussion about Manu, about Gary Ringrose, and about Jonathan Davis. Where do we stand on that?
Manu was one of my first names down when I was looking at the centres. That is a bit of a faith pick, because he hasn't played for 6, 7, 8 months, but he's due back in the next couple of weeks. And I think if Manu's fit and firing, then he's in the squad and he's very, very close, if not definitely in the Test 15. I think he will ask questions of defences that none of the other players in that squad will be able to ask of the Springboks. So I had him straight in with Henshaw, who was outstanding in the Six Nations. My biggest decisions were around Slade, Ringrose and Jonathan Davis, because I just think Davis on Lions tours has been, he's taken his game to another level. He's been outstanding. But I went for Slade on the basis of almost a slightly younger version of Jonathan Davis, a ball playing outside centre, who, as we've discussed on the pod before, England can't get the best of him. But a lot of that, I think, is because he ends up playing outside Ford and Farrell. So England have three ball players and no one actually running straight. I think if you had him playing outside Manu or Henshaw, you'd see the very best of him, because those inside runners would create some space for him to exploit. And I went for Ringrose, really touching back on something I said at the start, just players who I think he's very, very good defensively, very tough defensively, but can just, you know, his running ability, he can find holes and he can generate a break, create something in a very tight situation and break the game open like that. So ultimately, that's why I went with Ringrose. I think the George North situation would have probably changes everyone's balance, because he'd have offered another big power carrier in midfield or on the wing. But without him, that was sort of how I went with it and ended up squeezing Jonathan Davis out of my squad.
Pete, do you think the Lions would bring the best out of Gary Ringrose?
Well, I think he was unfortunate, maybe a little bit too young 4 years ago. And what I heard was that Gatland kind of privately maybe regretted not finding a spot for him. But I think he's gone backwards in the last year. And that's why I think he's under pressure. He didn't get into my squad. I suspect that he was happier under Joe Schmidt than he is under Mike Catt's influence. Mike Catt, I think, has put pressure on players to make decisions on the hoof. And too often recently, Ringrose has tended to tuck the ball under his arm and cut back against the grain and just go into contact. So he hasn't developed for me as much as I hoped he would. And I don't think he's in particularly good form. And I don't think you can... I think bringing him and Slade is two very pretty similar players. And if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd go with Slade at the moment. As for Manu, I remember before an Ireland-England game a couple of years ago, asking one of the Ireland coaching team, you know, which of the England players, if you had a chance, would you take? You know, if you had to pick one England player for your team. I think it was part of a panel that we were asked to do. And he said Tuilagi, just because he's a beast, he's a freak physically. So as Alex says, that's another faith pick. But against the Springboks, I think it's worth taking a chance in that particular part of the pitch.
Lawrence, I think we're down to a choice between Jonathan Davis and Gary Ringrose for the final centre spot. How would you? I'll let you decide that one.
Well, it's very tough. I mean, I made one fatal flaw in my mistake. I left Tuilagi out, which I'd like to sort of rectify because I'm not quite sure. It must have been a blind spot in my thinking at the time because
you haven't seen him play for about.
I know, but I agree with everyone else. He offers a point of difference, and he is a type of player that even if he's been out of a team, he doesn't need to play his way back in. He can do things that change the game, and. You know, with D'Alande and a number of other options the Springboks have got, it just completely changes the way the Lions play. So I would bring him in. I guess the big question is whether you take Farrell as a 12, because from what I've heard on this discussion, you know, you can always fly Farrell out if you don't, you know, from outside. But Slade, I agree, goes. Henshaw is a shoe-in. Tuilagi, if he's fit, would be brilliant. And I guess... I mean, I'd take Ringrose and Davis if you leave Farrell at home. But if you're assuming you're taking Farrell, then I think Jonathan Davis is probably the devil that Gatland knows, even though both are out of form, I would say. Ringrose obviously had the opportunity yesterday, but not the platform because his forwards got smashed to pieces. I think he is a hardcore centre. I think he's big, strong, robust, you know, and very committed in defence. It's just whether Gatland believes he can find those qualities very quickly on the tour. And can he do it more quickly than Jonathan Davis? So probably edge for Davis, given that Gatland knows him. But I wouldn't rule out Ringrose either. George Cruz might be a left field selection from Gatland. I know he got let down by Cruz a little bit in the on the tour. He ended up going between Henderson and Courtney Laws, but it could be quite a left field selection because
I was pondering that, Lawrence.
Because they've got no Steve Borthwick to quickly sort their line out.
Yeah,
and if you know Steve Borthwick is a real issue for them. And I don't know how good Steve Tandy is at running lineouts, but Steve Borthwick is the world's best. He's been glaringly missed for England this season as well because their lineout's been picked off too. And if you can't replace it with a coach, you need to replace it with a player. And the closest thing to Steve Borthwick as a player is George Cruz. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, Maratoge likes calling lineouts, as does James Ryan, as does Alan Wynne-Jones. But they would all bow to the superior knowledge of George Cruz and Steve Borthwick. So that could be, sorry, just to randomly throw in a left field.
I think it's a good thought. I mean, I pondered it for all those reasons, the lineout reasons, the fact that before he moved to Japan, he was playing the best rugby of his career through the World Cup and afterwards I thought he was outstanding. Having picked himself up from the fallout from that Lions tour where he was knocked pretty hard, I went against it only on the basis that of what happened in New Zealand, and I wonder whether that might still be in Gatland's mind a bit. But I think he would do he would do the position justice if he was to be picked from Japan.
Oh, I'm loving it. This is fantastic.
He's another who could be added. I just went against it, but I did give it a lot of thought actually about George Cruz.
Just one more. You can't leave the bar without having just one more, can you? So, I mean, just to finish, I do agree with everyone in the sense that the selection of this squad is not just on rugby ability alone. This is going to be a tour like no other tour. Certainly like no Lions tour that I've ever been on or any of you as covering the tour have ever been on. You know, to be in a hotel for 9 weeks, to not be able to see the country in the way that you would like and envisage, to see the inside of a hotel room, a stadium, a bus, another stadium, another changing room, and then back to the hotel is a challenge for everyone. Things aren't going to always be going your way. 9 weeks is a challenge for anyone, let alone a normal three-week sort of in-and-out smash-and-grab tour. So I think the mental resilience of each player will need to be assessed and their suitability to coping with what is a Lions tour like no other. So I think that people have to ponder that when they consider Gatland's selection, because it's not purely based on rugby.
Thanks for that, Lawrence. And can we just point out that it's going to be equally hard for the media who have to cover that tour as well, and that everyone out there should be feeling very...
Well, hold on a minute. I mean, as long as the bar's open, there's always a solution, isn't there, really? So, but it's not quite the same solution for the players, is it? So...
Well, there is a major fear that the bars and restaurants might not be open, in which case... Well, I don't know.
A few rand normally takes care of business.
I shall now take you through our the Ruck Lions squad for 2021. Starting at the back, Stuart Hogg, Liam Williams, Anthony Watson, Louis Rhys-Zammit, Jack Nowell and Josh Adams. In the centre, we have Robbie Henshaw, Henry Slade, Manu Tuilagi and Jonathan Davis. Our tens are Owen Farrell, Finn Russell. We wonder if Gatland will agree on that, but we all do. And Dan Bigger just nudges out Johnny Sexton. Our nines are Connor Murray and Thomas Williams. And because I'm in charge, I'm going to bring Danny Kerr. Next week, someone else can bring another nine instead. Our front row will consist of Mako Vunipola, Wyn Jones and Joe Marler. Everyone agrees on the hookers, which is Ken Owens, Jamie George, Luke Cowan-Dickey. And our tight heads are Ty Furlong, Carl Sinclair and Andrew Porter, probably in that order. Captain Alan Wynne-Jones in the second row with Marrow, James Ryan and fourth lock. I think I was pretty swung by you there, Pete, so we'll take Ian Henderson. In the back row, Faletau, Byrne, Watson, Curry and Tipperick. Everyone agrees. And Lawrence will never come on this programme, on this podcast again if Sam Simmons isn't on the trip. And the final back row is someone I actually haven't mentioned, but both Lawrence and Alex had him, and I've sort of penciled him in and out 101 times, which is Sam Underhill. So that is the Ruck Lions squad. I understand that Warren Gatton will be listening to this podcast with real interest between now and Thursday and is likely to follow our every move. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We are going to do a follow-up to this. We're going to do a special midweek podcast after the Lions selection has been announced on Thursday. You'll be able to pick that up on definitely by Friday morning. Depends on whether I know Jonesy gets up and decides to come back to work or not. I look forward to seeing you then, and we'll be back.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.